Can you talk a little bit about the issue of the predictors of response to EGFR TKIs in terms of smoking status, mutation, phenotypic characteristics, and sort of how you put that all together right now?
Well, certainly there's a lot of exciting information emerging on mutations and especially specific mutations. The patients who have mutations in exon 19 and 20 of the EGFR tyrosine kinase domain appear to be the subgroup of patients with the best chance of having a major radiographic response to an EGFR-targeted agent such as erlotinib. Data presented at ASCO this past year indicated that objective responses in patients with those mutations at a rate of around 70 to 80%, with median survivals in those patients of over a year treated with the EGFR-targeted agent alone. So that's very exciting. On the other hand, it's the minority of patients that have those types of specific EGFR mutations. If you look at the lung cancer patient population as a whole and realize that only 12% of them have any mutations and that it's about half to two-thirds of those that have specific mutations at exon 19 or 20, we're talking about selecting out less than 10% of patients on the basis of mutations to be treated with these agents in some specific manner. There clearly are many other patients who can have major radiographic responses or clinical benefit from these drugs that mutations do not analyze. Now, some of them can be identified by FISH, by fluorescence in situ hybridization analysis of gene copy number, looking at overexpression and amplification. And that, at least in retrospective studies, appears to target and identify a larger proportion of patients. Upwards of 30 to 35% of patients will be so-called FISH positive when their cutoff criteria are overexpression amplification. And that identifies a large proportion of the patients who will have either objective response or some slowing of progression that results in some survival benefit. Again, there are still a few patients that will fall outside of the EGFR mutation and the FISH positive camp, although very few of them. One of the problems, I think, with fluorescence in situ hybridization is that it identifies many patients who are not going to benefit from these agents. So we still don't have a test that is highly specific and highly sensitive at the same time.
How about smoking status?
I think smoking status right now remains one of the best selectors at the bedside that you can use to enrich the population of patients that you select for treatment with an EGFR-targeted agent. In the first-line setting, somewhere around 12 to maybe 15% of patients in North America are never smokers. They smoke less than 100 cigarettes in their lifetime, smoke maybe back during college. Some of us think that that group can perhaps even be extended a bit to patients who were less than a pack per day cigarette smokers for less than 20 years and stopped smoking 15 or 20 years ago. I think what we're saying is that someone who has a limited history of cigarette smoking and stopped smoking 15 or 20 years ago now presents with lung cancer has about a 50-50 chance that that cancer is still due to cigarette smoking or due to whatever other mechanism there is that has produced a lung cancer that now shares all of the response properties of cancers that occur in never smokers.
And what fraction would you estimate in the first line setting of people are oligo smokers in addition to the 10%, 12% non-smokers?
Yeah, it's probably about another 10% or so.